Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Well, we're kicking off a new series today. I'm excited. I might not show it initially, but I'll get ramped up. I'm excited because this is something that's been on my heart for a little while, and really just over the last month or so, it's kind of started to come together. And this is the heart behind this message is this, the series, is that the Holy Spirit should be and is moving in our lives if we're following Jesus. God has a desire to work in and through our lives. He doesn't need us. I'm still baffled even following Jesus all these years, pushing 40 years, which means I'm getting old. And it's interesting because I just sometimes wonder, when you read miracles in the New Testament, Old Testament, you see how God works. Sometimes you say, hey, God, can you just do that? Can you just do that? And so many times I think the response is, Gary, I am trying to do that, but I'm trying to work through you. And so this 3 weeks is going to be, I hope it's encouragement. My heart behind this is to encourage and try to help equip you to take next steps. Because what I know about following Jesus is it's a journey. That's our mission statement I'll talk about in a minute. But that key word in the middle of our mission statement is it's a journey. We realize that journeys include ups and downs. They include everything in between. And so I'm going to look at our mission statement and just talk about it briefly, talk about what we call our discipleship pathway and why that's important. But the premise behind this series is as followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit leads and guides us in our life. And really, that's the heart behind the title of the series, Move. It's a simple one-word title. And what I love about God is He loves us enough to meet us where we're at. Praise the Lord for that. He didn't wait for us to figure it out. He doesn't wait for us to realize we need something. He sent Jesus while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. But what I love even more is that God doesn't leave us where we're at. He loves us enough to meet us where we're at, but He also loves us enough to not leave us where we're at. And it's a journey. It's a growth process. And as anyone who's done any big project, whether it was training to run a marathon, lifting weights, riding bike, whatever it is, you realize that part of the joy of the destination when you reach that climax is actually the journey, getting there. And the Holy Spirit does not leave us where we're at. And that's why in the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at something simple. It says move up, move in, and move out. Now, move out doesn't mean leave, so just don't worry about that. But it means we're going to move up in our relationship with God and we're connecting with Him. You know, this concept to move further up and further in. The move in part is getting closer to the people in this church and building relationships. And that moving out part is being following that to its completion, which involves serving in some capacity, oftentimes within the church, but oftentimes what we just did yesterday. Going into the community and simply giving people water and letting them know that Jesus loves them and He's there and we're a church that is seeking Him. And as individual members, we have responsibilities, but also as a church family, we have responsibility. And the question that I'm going to be looking at really over the next 3 weeks is this idea, is how is the Holy Spirit calling you to move? From a sense of isolation or individualism to a community and purpose in this church. And so this week we're going to look at, the title is going to be Move Up, and we're going to be, how can we dive into knowing Christ more? But before I jump in any further, I think I should pray for our time together, so let's do that. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for loving us. God, I thank You that in turn You've called us to be Your hands and feet, to carry Your gospel, Your message. And God, I pray that this series would encourage and equip the people of this church to want to grow closer to You, to others, and in service, Lord. And I pray that You would move in powerful ways, God, in ways that we couldn't have even figured out before it happened. And God, I pray that You prepare our hearts and we would be open to hearing and seeing what You have for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So our mission, before I jump in, I think it's important to understand mission, who we are. Here at Grace Community Church, our mission is this. You should see it and hear it a lot. It is inviting you on a journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. That is who we are. That's what we're about. This isn't something we came up with. This is something that pulls out of Scripture in Matthew 28 specifically. And we also saw it in the book of Acts, at the very, just written in a slightly different way, but the mission was still the same. Sometimes we'll call this the Great Commission, because this is Jesus' really his last words to his followers, telling them in Matthew 28, this is what Jesus is saying. He said, Jesus came in to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And I love these verses because it gives us a clear calling that we as followers of Jesus as well as a church are to be about. Just a couple of quick points about this really is, this is a commissioning. And some could say this is like a command, right? This is what we're to be about. And I love how when Jesus starts it off, he says all authority has been given him. Don't gloss past that. This is saying, listen, Jesus, the words that are coming next were given to me. Their authority was given to me to call you to this. We are to go to make disciples, devoted followers of him. And we're to do this by teaching them to obey his commands. One of them included is baptism and teaching them to follow him. And it ends with one of my favorite verses there. It says that he will be with us at all times. So it starts with Jesus, it ends with Jesus, and it's what we're called to do. Church, today I think this is still clearly our calling, because not all have heard. How do we know that? Well, Jesus hasn't come back yet. So we know there's still work to do, whether that's individual or collective. We'll talk about both, but we should be seeking to grow. And I think what's important to understand in faith and understanding following Jesus is really there's three aspects to faith that are so critically important. Obviously, number one, we just read, it all depends on God. It depends on what Jesus did for us. God has a very, 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 very important part to this and continues with the Holy Spirit. But I also believe, as we've seen in Acts, that the church, the gathering of believers that are on mission, we have a responsibility. And that's why I preach about it. That's why we talk about it. That's why we do small groups around the idea. This is important. We want to invite you on that journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And then obviously, there's always a personal responsibility, an ownership, if you will. And that's where things get challenging, right? Because whenever we want to do something, whenever we want to seek after something good, whenever we want to set a goal for ourselves, there's obviously an element of personal responsibility that's there. Now, our personal responsibility is not possible without the love of Jesus. I know that, but it does. Paul talks about this, and we're going to read about it in 2 Peter, about this idea that we have a responsibility. And so again, that question for us is, how is the Holy Spirit calling you to move today from a sense of isolation to a sense of community and purpose? How can the Holy Spirit push you or strike you to take that next step or to move? And so that's our mission. That's what we're trying to do. Now, the second piece before I can really jump into the core of the message is this. I need to talk about this idea called discipleship pathway. And you're like, well, that sounds kind of churchy, and it is. But here's the heart behind. We understand that the mission statement gives us the calling, if you will. This is what we're to do. It tells us the journey that we're to go on. But then the question really becomes is, what is that journey? How do we go about that journey? And I realize that everybody's journey of growing closer to Christ is unique, doesn't follow a linear pattern, and there's ups and downs and there's things like that. But there is a path that we are to be taking, a direction we are to be going. And here we call that the discipleship pathway. And I have a logo that I created here. And so I took the basic idea. You've seen this before without a lot of the color. So this is helpful thanks to computers. Here's the idea. There's two main parts to the discipleship pathway, the direction we're going to be going. The first is the path. What are we doing? How are we navigating this thing called life? The second is the trajectory, and that's where the road signs come in, helping us to know what are some of our goals. So just really quickly, walking through the path is that these ideas are what we call core values. These are the things that we're all about, and we try to incorporate in some capacity in everything we do. Now, obviously, depending on what the event is, depending on whether you're Sunday morning, not all of these pieces are going to be in there, but there are key pieces that play a part in our growth. And so obviously, worship. That's what we've been doing today. We've been coming before the Lord and giving Him thanks, giving Him all the honor, directing our praise to Him, understanding that He's the one that drives everything. Family. Family is huge. We believe that the family is the core of following Jesus, and there's responsibilities in that family, no matter what your family looks like. We have families and there's responsibilities there, and that plays a huge part at this church. Bible teaching. Of course, we want to be studying God's Word. We want to be being taught. We want to be into small groups and reading on our own. And Bible study, Bible teaching is so important. Prayer. We've already seen it witnessed a couple of times today, whether corporate or whether you've done it individually. Prayer is important. Fellowship. You know, that's how we get to know one another. And it's not just food, although we like food here. And we do food very well here, I think. That's part of it because it kind of breaks that barrier down. But it's getting people spending time together. Service. That's going to be things we do within the church. And then, of course, evangelism or outreach. That's some of the things we've done, even like yesterday. And so those are the key components of that pathway. Those are the steps that we're going to try to encourage you to take. And what that looks like is going to be different for every one of you, perhaps, but there is the key pieces. Now, if you want to dive into this a little deeper, you can look at Acts chapter 2. We came through this a few months ago. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, really talk about these ideas that came from the early church. This is how it started and how we're trying to continue. The trajectory. The second piece is the road signs, and you see three of them up there. Connect to God, connect to people, connect to purpose. Now, I realize that we want elements, again, we want elements of those in everything we do, but this is kind of the direction you're going. We're going to try to help you connect with God, obviously. We're trying to create an environment here at church and direct all the praise to Him. The primary way we see that is on Sunday mornings in our worship service. Now, again, there's going to be elements of that in everything we do, but that's the key. And you'll kind of see a pattern developing here as new people start attending a church, what we try to see and help them get involved. Obviously, connect to God. Second is connect to people, where primarily you're going to see this through fellowship events or Bible studies or small groups. And we have a couple of those on a regular basis. And whether that's youth on Wednesday nights or whether that's adults or whether that's Scoops and Scripture on Wednesday, these type of events, even Vespers fits into there because we're trying to connect people to get to know one another. And we realize that 1 hour or an hour and 15 minutes, depending on how long I talk, on a Sunday morning is not an opportunity to really get to know people too well. Although y'all like to stay around and talk, and that's really great, but even that is really just a small microcosm. So we try to connect people through different activities so that you can begin to know people better. And the final one is connect to purpose, and really that's just living out in service and evangelism, and that looks any number of different ways. So that's a really quick flyover, and I realize I'm going through that really fast, but that graphic really is a great representation of what we're trying to do and help you on that journey. Now, again, you all are different. You all have different life experiences. You all have different things going on in your life at this moment. Some of us are just married. I love these two right here. Just married, and some have been, where was Paul at? 53 plus years, right? Yeah, so we got singles, we got young kids, where's that baby at? That baby there? Yeah, the baby's there. So you see what I'm saying? Like, everybody's journey is at a different point. But these key pieces help us help you get connected. And really the goal starting today is really to assess for you, to think about where are you at? Where along this way, you know, maybe God's pointing to you and saying, I really want you to dive in, connect to people more. Maybe it's, hey, you've been attending church for a while, you're really connected with the people, but maybe there's an opportunity to serve. Maybe it's, hey, I really, you know, you could be like Pam and come up to me and say, hey, I think we should do this as a church. Maybe there's something that's on your heart that God's placing on your heart right now that we don't do yet. Maybe God's putting it on your heart to take that step, to be the leader or to begin that process. How is the Holy Spirit calling you to move today. And so that finally gets us to this sermon series, Move. And today, I've got a graphic for it here. This idea that we're going to move up, we're going to move in, we're going to move out, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is what we need to help drive us. And I think, again, as the Holy Spirit works in our heart to shift us from isolated individuals to a church family that's on mission. You know, one of my favorite parts about yesterday is that being the lead pastor, so many times I just get voluntold a lot of things, and it's great. I don't mind doing it. Yesterday, they basically told me, here, go walk in the middle of the parade and push the cart. That's all we need from you today. You know why that's powerful? Because of the 25-ish people on our team that were there that were picking up and serving God, and that's what church is about. That's what church is about. So we had to move up and move in and some move out. It's powerful. But today what I want to do in my time remaining is to really talk about this moving up piece. So we're going to be in 2 Peter. I love this passage because Peter's writing this to the church. He's writing this second letter. So, you know, sequentially, you know, it's getting near the end of his life, I'm sure. And he's talking to the church and he's trying to encourage them, number one, to be on the lookout for false idols, false teaching, but more importantly, to continue to grow. See, I think sometimes as followers of Jesus, I know I feel this way sometimes. It's not that we think we've ever arrived, but we think that because we've been following Jesus for longer, suddenly things are going to get easier. I don't know if you talk to anybody who's been following Jesus for any length of time, I'm going to guess they're going to say, no, that's not necessarily true. It doesn't mean God's any less good. In fact, we've witnessed more good. We've witnessed more things he's done. But the fact is we're going to see in these verses, and I love this call from Peter, is we're called to move up on a regular and daily basis. So let me jump in and let me start walking through this passage, starting in verse 1 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. I'm going to do it in chunks and then we'll go from there. So picking this up in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Let me stop there for a minute. The first thing I want to point out here is, again, Peter says, listen, this is grace. This is a gift. This is something that we get in the gift of God through grace because of the work of Jesus is all what it's about. It's saving grace. Let us never forget that path, that fact that it all starts with Jesus. It all starts with God sending his son, and it continues to be all about him. Now, I mentioned this letter was written by Peter. Two purposes, as I mentioned, addressing false teachers, which I think we can use a little bit of help in that. So keep reading after this verses we talk about today, and you'll see Peter dive into that. But essentially, he's going to exhort the church to grow in faith and knowledge. And I think this is so important today because, you know, I don't want to say anything that's happening today has never happened before, because I know that what is old is new again. But in the United States, it sure feels like we're heading down this slope. And I fear that we've head down this slippery slope farther than we can ever turn around, that God can do anything. But in the end, we know how the end of the story happens, right? If you read about there has to be a falling away of faith, there has to be persecution, there has to be all these things that happen. And so we know those things are coming. But we need God more than any other time in our life. You agree with that? Like, we recognize the longer we live, whether it's increased responsibilities, whether it's just experience in life, whether it's the world going crazy, I don't know, but we all need God more and more every day. And this knowledge of Jesus that starts out, Peter starts out in this writing, he said, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Not just a little bit, not just even a little more, but in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. That saving grace is so important to help us grow. Let's continue on in verse 3 and see what Peter has. His divine power, verse 3, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Let me pause there again. I love these verses because it leads out and said we've been given everything we need. I call this the great swap. You know, when we come to Christ, what do we bring? Nothing. We bring our sin, we bring our brokenness, we bring everything that's wrong in our life because of our own sinful nature and choices. We bring all the past mistakes, all the things that have happened to us, and we lay it at the cross. And what does he give us? He gives us grace. He gives it to us in abundance. And it says here, his divine power has given us everything we need for life. Listen, so many times when we want to change something in our life, and listen, I'm the same way. The first thing I ask most times is, what do I have to do? Right? What do I have to do to change? And what we're seeing here is that no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening, God's word tells us that his divine power has given us everything we need in godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory. The great swap. See, the divine power is given. Remember Matthew 28, Jesus said, listen, all authority has been given to me. Now go. Go do what I'm calling you to do. And he ends that statement by saying, and oh, by the way, I'm going to be with you always. Something you should know about Peter is Peter, we know Peter, right? We meet Peter in the Gospels and he's that ready, fire, aim type of mentality. He's just like, I'm going to go full bore. I'm going to lay caution to the wind. He's the one who pulls the sword out and tries to cuts the ear off of the soldier. But then even to that point, when he was really pressed, he denied Christ. But then was reconciled, and now we see Peter, kind of like Paul, that you can see elements of leadership in them that are just, apart from Jesus, are wild and crazy. But once Jesus gets a hold of them, once the Holy Spirit's in their life, suddenly these things, they're the same energetic people taking the different message, the message of the gospel. I love it because the divine power, let me say that one more time, has been given us, those who are followers of Jesus, for everything we need for a godly life, period. God has given us what we need. And if we knew the source, if we know the person who has what we need, we should be moving up. The authority was given to Jesus from God, and by the grace of God, in him, he has given us this authority. The Holy Spirit begins to press. I can feel it pressing on us, drawing us closer to him, directing us to move up, to pull in, to find encouragement that only comes through Jesus, to move upward. And then in verse 4, we are called to participate. I'll say this again. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to work in and through us. And it tells us we can escape the corruption of this world. And I'll add in there my own heart. I realize that I'm a sinner, that saved by grace, my life should be different, and it is different than it was, but there's still a sin nature. And it's only in through pursuit of him and growing closer to Christ. I've mentioned this before. When you approach a light, the closer you get to it, the more it shows you what's approaching it, right? Think about this. You go up to a mirror, and the closer you get to the mirror, unless you've got vision issues like I do, but generally, closer you get to the mirror, you see all those imperfections. The lights, you know, this is funny. When I fix the lights in our bathroom, there's four lights up there, and they start to go out one by one. And, you know, after one goes out, no one says anything. Second one goes out. Couple of the girls will say something. A third one goes out, they're all knocking on the door, say, Dad, you got to fix those lights. And then we fix the lights, and then they go, it's so bright, right? You see what is there. And I think the closer you get to Christ, the more you realize how desperate you are for him. It's you can sing that song, God, you are the air that I breathe. We need that. And the promise that we get from this is that he will give us everything we need. And I would say that if you're a follower of Jesus, you've gotten the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got everything you need already. The power of God is in you. That's the great swap. And in 2 Corinthians 5, I mention these verses all the time. It's about living it out. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about Paul's writing, we are a new creation in Christ. And because of that, we're called into his mission, his message. We're called to share the grace of God. of God with others. Let's continue on in verse 5. Peter starts to get a little more practical here, more specific. He says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add your faith to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." Stop there real quick. Peter really is getting after it here, and he gives this kind of this trajectory. I love it. He talks about sort of, if you get this, then you'll get this, and then the next thing you'll get, and you kind of keep going. And eventually he gets to this thing called love. And you know, love is definitely misrepresented in today's world, but the love that Peter's talking about is the love of the Father here and loving others, yes, but also caring about their eternal state. But in these verses, this trajectory, this pathway, if you will, I love in verse 5, I kind of paused on it. Make every effort. If you're a circler or a highlighter, that I want you to underline, make every effort. In the NASB, it says, applying all diligence, working hard. The NLT goes a step further and says, make every effort to respond. In other words, an outward response. I think this screams of personal responsibility. And this responsibility, again, is not to save you. It's in response to a saving faith that's already occurred. Don't hear me say, like, I'm not telling you have to do more things to go to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, if you really realize you are moving up and closer with your relationship with Jesus, you realize, like I said, you're getting closer to that light. You see in full color what Jesus died for. And realize that you have the power through him to overcome that. You're moved. You're moved to show your faith. You're moved to take action. Responding, I think RJ mentioned it today, you're compelled to respond. You can't help it. You love Jesus so much, you realize what he's done for your life, and you want everyone you come in contact with to know him in some way. And can I tell you that your faith walk lived out in life is going to be the only sermon some people ever see. They're not going to hear a sermon. They're going to see how you, as a professing Christian, live your life. And that puts a little responsibility on us, doesn't it? Helps us to see that the ownership, and again, it's not that we're earning anything. God said we've already been given everything we need to do it. But this response is something that requires personal responsibility. Again, God could just go, done. Gary's perfect. Next. Done. So-and-so's perfect. But that's just not how life is. That's not how it works. And it becomes through these daily steps of following him, desiring to know him more, that's going to lead you to take responsibility and move forward. The second point I want to highlight about these is that he's given us, again, everything we need. This growth process is a response to faith. It's not anything that earns you anything, but rather it's an outward expression of an inward conversion, and it's all through the power of God and the Holy Spirit. Again, just reminding you that this center of the journey of faith has three parts. I've mentioned this once. I felt it was important to mention again. We must always start with our relationship with God. It's all because of his work, his power, and what he's given us. But second, as a church, we're called to encourage and equip and be on this collective mission that we can help others grow spiritually, whether it's teaching Sunday school, whether it's leading small group, whether it's greeting at the door. It doesn't matter what you're doing, but you're helping the church fulfill its mission. And we all have a responsibility for that. And then, of course, the personal responsibility that we all are to be on as we move up closer to God and our growth and our trajectory. Again, it's never about being perfect. We can't be perfect in this side of eternity. We're still going to sin. We're still going to make mistakes. But the trajectory of your life is going to be different, I hope. I hope people that knew me when I was in high school and talked to me now see a little bit of a difference in the trajectory of life. It better be different, right? If you look at your life moving, and I want people to see not what I'm doing, but they can say, oh, I know Gary, And the only reason he's there now, Ben can probably tell you stories. Don't listen to him. No, they're only half true. But I'm different today than I was then. Not because I'm better, not because of anything I've done, but all because of what God has done in my life. I think back to my family's testimony and maybe how dangerously close when my dad was a practicing alcoholic that my parents came to splitting up. God was working in my mom's life for sure and finally allowed my dad to see what was going on. And because of that, I look at the trajectory of our life and it's just so very different. And I can only say, thank you, Jesus. Only you know. But as we kind of round the corner here and begin to head home, I want you to, we're going to read these last two verses in this passage, verse 10 and verse 11. And it's a continual call from Peter. And this is what he said. Verse 10, he says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if we do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think what Peter's telling them there is don't get complacent. Now, I think the greatest lie of the enemy is not getting somebody to do a horrendous sin, not getting somebody to commit murder, commit adultery, I mean, you name it, whatever the sin you think is the most egregious. Rather, he's in your ear whispering, you're okay. You know, you may not be where you want to be, but we find somebody else to compare ourselves to, right? We say, well, I'm better than so-and-so. Or could you believe what you saw on Facebook? At least I'm not like that. And I think this element of complacency sometimes is crippled the American church as of late, is that we are too afraid to speak boldly for the name of Jesus. But also, can I tell you, we sometimes don't speak with enough love either. We need to address issues. We always need to speak the truth. But unless you are doing it out of the love of Christ with an honest, you know, reflection of where you're at, you're going to miss the boat. See, sometimes churches are either too truth-heavy and not enough love, and sometimes they're too love-heavy and not enough truth. And I think if you look at Jesus' life, Jesus loved people, right? There's no doubt. There was no sin you could do that would prevent him from sitting at a table and eating with you. But in that same context, he loved you so much that he wouldn't let you stay there. And I think that the level of what we're encountering is we're in a political nature where everyone just wants to point the finger at the other person and everybody else is the worst. And I'm just going to tell you, they're all terrible. They're all bad. Like, I'm not sure many of them are in it for the right reason. There's always behind the scenes. But what I can tell you is that my faith doesn't depend on that. My faith doesn't depend on what's happening in the United States. My faith depends on my Lord and Savior, Jesus. And what I found is when I approach situations and ask myself the question, this sounds so cookie cutter, but what would Jesus do? It sounds so 1990s, right, with the bracelets. But isn't it so true that if we would look at a situation and say, what would Jesus do? What would he do? Not what would Gary do? Not what your pastor do, not what would your worship leader do, what would Jesus do? And then, here's something crazy, dive into God's word and say, what does God say? What would Jesus say? And we approach that, I think we would be able to really keep our eyes on the prize. Peter here goes on to say, there's danger growing for Christians. Many people believe that this was written before Nero, so right before that time frame, if you know your history at all, Nero was crazy, and he did a lot of awful things to Christians and people in general. He just was really awful to everybody, as far as I can tell. Peter was saying, listen, there's danger coming. There is persecution coming. There's all of this coming. All the more reason to be in God's Word. And I've learned one thing in life, that no matter the focus of an organization, a church, a school, a relationship, you name it, if that organization is not growing, it's probably dying. And so this harkens to that concept of complacency. I think, again, the biggest lie that Satan tells us is that, oh, you're okay. You're not that bad. It's not too bad. Or talks you into maybe taking no action. But Peter is clear here. We must make every effort to grow closer to God. So what is this response for us today And again, this question is how is the Holy Spirit calling you to move up? Well, let me give you two perspectives as I wrap this up. First, a personal and one a collective. On a personal level, we have been encouraged this summer to dive into God's Word, to spend more time with there. What I'm encouraging you now is to keep doing that. Look for ways that you can study with friends, or maybe it's our small groups coming up in October. Those are ways that you can dive in and get connected. Whatever it is, allow the Holy Spirit to move. Now, in 2 Peter 1, these verses 5 through 8, he gave some specifics. So let me just touch on a couple of these. The first, grow in knowledge. Encourage you to dive deeper. If a subject that you don't know exists in the Bible, which it probably does, I encourage you to dive in. One that was on my heart, it's not that I didn't understand it a little bit, but this idea of the holiness of God. I was like, do I really understand what the holiness of God is? And so what I did is I sought out a resource that I was able to use and would love to go through that with anyone else that wants to go through that. R.C. Sproul is a great teacher, and it was a tremendous blessing to my life. Maybe it's a reading plan. YouVersion through the Word, both these apps on the phone are tremendous. They give different topics and different reading plans that can help you draw closer to God. I don't know what it is, but I encourage you to grow in your knowledge. Self-control was another one that Peter mentioned. Maybe there's an area of your life that self-control is lacking. I don't know. You know. What I encourage you to do is make every effort to grow in this ability to and help change occur. Maybe it's getting help. Maybe it's getting an accountability partner. I don't know what God is poking on right now, but I do know this. The Holy Spirit is available and ready. He said He's given us everything we need. Maybe we need to let go and surrender to Him. Finally, love. If the Holy Spirit is moving you, I believe how you look at other people will be different. I believe you'll stop asking yourself questions like, why in the world did they do that to? How can I help? Is there a way that I can assist? Can I pray for you? Is there something I can do to help you in this journey? See, one thing that God's been working on me on for a long time is looking at other people and having the love that He has for them. See, if I stop and ask myself and remind myself that Jesus died for them too. And His heart is that all would come to know Him. Now, we know that He also says that not everybody will, but His desire is for that. And if He's truly working in my life and leading me to places and putting me in positions, and I run into somebody there that I'm like, ooh, they need Jesus. Sometimes I hear that voice going, maybe you need to tell them, Gary. I don't know, maybe that's you. Maybe there's a situation where love can be lived out in our interaction with others. For me, it's on the road when I'm driving. I'm still working on it. It's just not a pretty process. My daughter can tell you that I'm a bit aggressive on the road and sometimes become very impatient. The other day, this is nothing related to the sermon, but it came to my mind, and my wife's not in here, so I can say it. I was driving down the road, and I don't know what was going on, but I'm always the first one to verbally let someone else know that they're not going to speed limit. You're going too slow. My wife just looks over and goes, honey, how fast are you going? I was like, as I speed up, oh, 47, 48, it's a 55 zone, right? I was probably going 40. She goes, And that was all she said. And it dawns on me, it's like, how many times has God done that to me? Where I've said, God, help me with this. I'm laying this down and surrendering to you. I just had this conversation with someone this week. And I lay everything out except for just a little bit. And I hold on to, you know, the sheet. You're putting out a sheet to sit on at the park or something. You kind of flip it up and put it down. I'm holding on to that just a little bit. I think sometimes we do really want to change. God's revealed to us areas where we realize we know what our flaws are. The longer you follow Jesus, the more you know, the closer you get to it. Again, the light shows you. And we know these verses to be true, that God has given us everything we need to follow Him. And yet... we want to hold on just a little bit. Let us not be people that see other flaws in people that we ourselves do without first addressing. You know that idea, you know, don't worry about the speck in your neighbor's eye before you take the plank out of your eye. You know, sometimes we see other people's flaws because they're what? They're our flaws. And aren't you glad that Jesus loved us in spite of our flaws? Let us be that kind of people as well. collectively, what can we do collectively? Here, in order to become a more active member of the church and be more involved in the church, I believe that you have to know about the church. Sunday mornings, this is kind of our Facebook moment, right? We're putting the best foot forward. We're saying, this is what we are. This is, and it's true. It's genuine. It's very accurate. But sometimes you don't know, like, how do you guys make decisions? How do I get involved with something? What do you think about this? Or what's your beliefs on this? And so we have something called our Discovering Church class that allows you to be connected and know how we do things at a church. As I steal a phrase from Pastor Dan, we lay our cards on the table. We tell you everything about us. This is who we are. This is how we are organized. This is how we make decisions. This is how you can get involved. This is what we believe on key topics. And so we let you know that because we think that's important. And so maybe for you, what's holding you back from taking that next step, you've been a faithful attender. You've even attended a few events, but you haven't really connected with people. Maybe that's what's holding you back. Maybe you need to know better what we are doing. And I would encourage anybody who hasn't taken it in the last 2 years, if it's been longer ago than that, or you've never done it, it'd be a great class to take. Again, we talk about our nuts and bolts, why we do things, our mission, our vision, our heart, discovering church at Grace Community Church. So I'm encouraging you today, and we can do this in any number of formats. We have a sign-up sheet in the back. We have a QR code that I think Ben will put up there. I think we put it in there. If you're interested in this, don't worry, we're not all watching you. If you want to use your phone, pull it out there, or there's a paper pencil, sign up in the back, put your name down, and we'll figure out how to do that with you. As the worship team comes, let me remind you about the words of Peter today. First, through our faith in Jesus Christ, He's given us everything. And friends, this can give us and should give us tremendous confidence, not in our own abilities, not in what we can do, but in the God we serve. Second, we need to make every effort. I believe that's key in moving up in our relationship with Jesus. Yes, if Jesus has done everything that needs to happen and the Holy Spirit has been given us, the only roadblock sometimes in this is our own hearts. Make every effort. Third, I want to encourage you to live expectantly. Live expectantly. At the end of this passage, it talks about essentially being with Christ when He comes back. Jesus is living again, and we have a hope that keeps us going. So as we get to our feet and begin to think about this next song, it's aptly titled, The Stand. And so maybe today there's something in your heart, and you're like, God's really pointing at this. I need to take a step. If it's personal in nature, do so. If you need to talk to somebody, maybe you need accountability, that's great. If you're interested in the Discovering Church class, I encourage you to take it. It's definitely worth your time, and it's a great way that we make connections and build a fellowship.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.